Song of invitation will be song number 125. 125. All right, so I'm going to start out this morning saying some things that might cause a little fear in some people, or it might cause some controversy. So I want to apologize right off the bat for that. Lockdown, quarantine, shelter in place, safe at home. Now I'm just going to start right off the bat by saying this is not going to be a pro and con of what's going on and the situation and the current situation. I'm just going to discuss these concepts that I've talked about as they compare to spiritual protection and how they tie into spiritual protection. Now, during this time of quarantine, there's been a lot of focus on staying safe. And over time, there's been various terms that have been used for this lockdown and for this quarantine. And many of these terms carry with them preconceived notions. Let's take, for example, the first one that we started hearing, shelter in place. Now, before coronavirus came around, that was usually associated with tornadoes or hurricanes, things like that. When you heard shelter in place, well, the Red Cross defines shelter in place as selecting a small interior room with no or few windows and taking refuge there. So it carries with it the whole idea of impending danger. When you hear shelter in place, there's danger. Hide. So Governor Cuomo was one of the first ones to address this. He said, shelter in place is a scary term for people. I believe communication is important, and I believe words are important. Say what you mean, don't say what might alarm people. So then we started hearing stay-at-home orders. So that kind of gives the idea of isolation and protection, but then it kind of sounds like a demand. You stay at home. So we started seeing some pushback from that. And sort of people started feeling like it was a prison. So then we started hearing safe at home, safer at home. So safe at home sounds a lot more peaceful. It's an idea of peace, like when we're safe in the arms of Jesus. Or your home could be sanctuary. Now, I don't know about y'all, but safe at home wasn't very peaceful at our place. So it didn't really give the sense of peace that it should. But so David uses much imagery throughout the Bible to describe protection and peace that comes only from God. So I want to start with looking at 2 Samuel 22. Now, this is commonly known as David's Song of Deliverance. He wrote this while he was hiding out from Paul, which he did really need shelter from. Saul. King Saul was constantly after him and chasing him around everywhere. So if you turn with me to that, I'm going to read the first four verses of that. And just think about all the imagery that's built into this, just this one section. And David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and horn of salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. And I am saved from my enemies. Now, wow, there's so many different images that come to our mind there. And they were even more vivid in their minds because the days of battle that they had and the things of battle that they had. So during this time of COVID-19, there's been a lot of focus on physical safety. But today I want to talk about spiritual safety and the safety that comes only from God and His Son, Jesus Christ. But we see some of the same ideas that we see throughout David's Psalms and throughout the Old and New Testament. Scriptures that are associated with security in God and Christ. So He is our shelter, protecting us from impeding danger, but also our impenetrable fortress that isolates us so that we can remain locked in and surrounded and protected. But again, He's also our refuge of safety to hold us and support us and comfort us. So I want to start with the first one, that idea of shelter. When David was in exile running from Saul, he and his men needed physical shelter, physical safety. And they were seeking that anywhere they could find it, often in caves. In Psalms 55:8, we see him reaching out for physical shelter. He said, "I would hurry to find a shelter from the raging wind and tempest." But the shelter he relied on most was not this physical shelter from the elements, but shelter from God. In Psalms 27:5, he says, "For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon the rock." In Psalm 3:3-4, he says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill." So he can protect us here on earth, but he can also protect us spiritually. Because we too are constantly being stalked by an impending outside force, an impending enemy, an impending danger. 1 Peter talks about Satan as a roaring lion that is constantly seeking someone to devour. In Ephesians, Paul talks about the fiery darts of Satan that come our way. But he also describes the shield of faith that can protect us. And David talks about this in Psalms. Psalms 91, which the whole psalm itself is about that protection. He says, "He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler." Now that first part, under his wings you shall find rest, trust and refuge, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I want to look at the two images he has there at the end, the shield and the buckler. Now, I know that probably everyone out here knows what a shield is. It's for defensive. It protects your body. You can hide behind it. But many people might not know what a buckler is. So a buckler is like a shield, but it's a very small shield. If you were to stand in front of it, it wouldn't do much to protect your body. Because it's an offensive weapon. It's used as you're fighting. You parry with it. You move it. It's active. So what David is saying here is that God's faithfulness is not just defensive, but it's also offensive. We can use his faithfulness to help us attack and to help us fight against things that are coming towards us, to help us fight against Satan. So it's a great image that he uses there as a shield and a buckler, that faithfulness. So we need to keep our faith strong and depend on him so that faith will protect us, but also help us fight against sin and temptation and things that come our way. In Ephesians 6:13, which is when Paul is talking about the whole armor of God, he says, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." So we stand firm in that shelter, beneath that shelter. Now the next two terms I want to talk about, David likes to use them together. There's at least three or four places that he puts them together, and that's the idea of a fortress and a refuge. Now a lot of us might think those are sort of the same thing, and they do have a lot of overlap. But why would he use two words that meant the same thing? So I want to look at each one of those. But first let's look at some of the places he used it side by side. In Psalm 91, the psalm that I was talking about before, 1 and 2, he says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Psalm 59:16, "But I will sing of your strength. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning. For you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress." And then Psalm 5:11, "But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing for joy and spread your protection over them, for that those who love your name may exalt you." Now that word fortress that you see throughout those, the Hebrew word for that, I'm going to do my best to pronounce it, is matsud. And what that stands for, it's a castle or a defense or a fortress or a stronghold. If you look at the dictionary definition, it's a person or thing, a fortress is a person or thing not susceptible to outside influence or disturbance. It's isolation. It's a force field of protection that encompasses us and surrounds us. Think Daniel in the lion's den when he was protected from the lions. Think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were protected in the fire. They were surrounded. They were protected so that nothing could harm them. That's the same idea that David wants to get across when he calls God his fortress. And we see that in the New Testament also. If we look in Colossians 3, 1 through 4, if you'll turn there with me. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. Paul writes, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things of this earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory." So if we have died to the world and we are hidden and protected in Christ, that's safe. Now, a lot of Christians out there, they think of this more as this fortress is not really a fortress, it's kind of a pillow fort. So they're really timid. They live in a fear. Am I going to do something wrong and the fort collapse around me? I'm no longer protected. And they spend their whole life, any kind of sin or temptation that comes that way, if they stumble in the slightest, they think the fort has collapsed and they're no longer protected. But God's love is stronger than that. We see that throughout the whole entire Bible. In fact, in the Song of Psalms, Song of Songs, one of the ones we don't really read from a lot, Song of Solomon, the bride, when she's talking to the groom, talking about the groom, says, "Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love is strong as death, and jealousy as fierce as the grave." In 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22, we read, "And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ. He has anointed us, and he has put his seal on us and given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." So it's like a sealed letter or package, the contents. We're safe inside of that love. In 2 Thessalonians 3, 3, we see, "But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one." So if you look at those original words in Greek, that establish means to set strong and fast, like concrete. And that word guard means to keep or preserve. When Jude writes his letter, he begins his letter by saying, "Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ." Are preserved for or by Jesus Christ. The Greek word there is tereo. It means to guard, to detain, to hold fast, or to keep. So for those who are called are kept. Now we're going to sin and we're going to fall short of perfection. But God is there to forgive us and continually fortify us. 1 John 1, 9 says, "If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So we shouldn't live in a state of fear, but in a state of confidence in Christ Jesus. And confidence that he is there for us and his love is there for us. If we sin and fall short, we turn back to him. But some people see this fortress, they start seeing it as a prison. We're locked inside. We're forced to do things. They're kind of like Rapunzel, and they feel they see the world, but they can't be part of it. And they start trying to turn back to their old ways. There's a lot of talk in Paul's letters about people trying to become part of the church, but want to turn back to those old lives because they're missing out. They think they're missing out on a lot of fun. 2 Peter 2:18-22. I won't read it all, but it talks about that. It talks about those that are entangled, that want to, "For after they've escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in the things of the world and overcome. And then the last state has become worse than the first." And he talks about that being like a dog turning to its own vomit, or a pig turning back to the mire. So we must not be enticed by the temptation of the world. And we must see that fortress as what it is, the protection that it is. We should take Paul's advice from the end of his first letter to the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 16:13, he writes, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be strong." So we should remember that fortress that David wrote about and remember that God is that fortress of protection. But he also uses the word refuge. Now that word refuge in Hebrew is makesa. It means refuge like you would think of a wildlife refuge or a sanctuary, asylum. In Numbers 35, there were cities. God demanded that cities of refuge be set up. And these cities were so that if a man was accused of murder, that he could go hide out and be protected there until he was found guilty or until something, the next step happened. King James Bible Dictionary defines refuge as that which shelter or protects from danger, distress, or calamity. So we sing songs like "Safe in the Arm of Jesus," or "He Hideth My Soul in the Cleft of the Rock," "In the Shadow of His Wings." All those songs give us that idea of refuge. We have a small wren that has made a nest outside our door on our breezeway in a chair that we have. It's just a folding chair that was set up there, and we came out one day, and the nest has been built, and it had some little eggs inside of it. And believe me, that breezeway is not a place of peace. There's quite a lot of chaos that happens in that area. But that little bird nest there and that little mom shelters those. Just like the verse that we were talking about when I said that I would cover later. He will cover you, Psalms 91:4, he will cover you with his pinions. That's his feathers. And under his wings you will find refuge. So it's like that mama bird that's sitting on that edge, sitting on those eggs, no matter what's going on, what chaos is going on around him. Those birds and the eggs have peace. They have protection. Psalms 57:1, we read, "Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I take refuge, till the storms of destruction passes by." So God offers the peace and protection throughout his word, throughout many of the promises that he gives. They offer us that peace. So we must trust, we must learn to lean on and trust God will be there to protect us. David had built this trust with God. We see it through many of the Psalms. In Psalms 4:8, he says, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." David put his trust in God. And he wants us to do the same. Proverbs 30, verse 5, assures us that every word of God is true. And he is a shield to those who take refuge in him. At the end of 2 Timothy, when Paul is saying some final words to Timothy, he warns him about a troublemaker, a coppersmith named Alexander, who's caused a lot of trouble. And he has the following things to say. In 2 Timothy 4:17-18, it said, "But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." These words from Paul were meant as words of comfort to Timothy, some of the last words that he wrote. Now, contrary to that, back in the book of Deuteronomy, God issued a warning to those that would turn away from him and not obey him. In Deuteronomy 20:28-58, he says, "If you do not carefully observe all the words of the law that are in this book," he listed one of the curses that would happen to them. In 28:66, "Your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night. You shall have no assurance of life." Now that's not the way we want to live, and that's not the way that a Christian would live. If we continue to walk in His path, we shouldn't have that fear in our life. God, in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." So we can't let fear control us. We should not have a spirit of timidity. We should stay in that refuge and be and get confidence from Christ, what He gives us. And then we have the verse in Philippians 4:6-7 that probably a lot of people have read during this time. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ." So we see there, we see that shelter. We see the fortress that God will be for us. And we also see the refuge that He can be for us. But a lot of people, they seek this protection and this feeling of shelter from other means. We see one of those in Isaiah when he's proclaiming judgment on Jerusalem. I don't think you've made it to 28 yet, have you? In 28:15, if you want to turn there with me. 28:15. Isaiah 28:15. Isaiah says, "Because you have said, 'We have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we have an agreement. When the overwhelming whip passes through, it will not come to us. For we have made lies our refuge, and falsehood, in falsehood we have taken our shelter.'" So they have seeking another kind of shelter. And we see a lot of people that take their refuge there. And they cover themselves in lies to make themselves look better, or to cover up the sins that they've done, temptations they've fallen into. So we should take the advice here not to shelter and not be protected by lies. Another thing that people try to take refuge in and try to be sheltered by and protected by is man, is other men. And Psalm 118:8, it says, "It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man." Now we have many cases throughout the Bible of people that have relied on men to save them, and that has not worked out well for them. A good example of that is the case of Herod, when he had John the Baptist. If you see in Mark 6:19-25, we see that story of John the Baptist and Herod. Herod knew that his stepdaughter had it out for John. But it says in verse 20, Mark 6:20, "Herod feared for John, knowing that he was righteous and a holy man. He kept him safe." So if the story ended right there, you would think, well, all right, Herod protected a man of God. That's wonderful for Herod. But if you continue on with the story, his protection of safety did not go so well. Within a few verses, we see that stepdaughter requesting John's head on a platter. And Herod was more than happy to provide that to win her love. So we can't rely on man. Man can backstab us and turn their back on us. They're only human. You heard that term used a lot. So we must put our faith in God. We must trust Him to be our shelter and protection. We can't rely on things of this world. Things like sin and lies and money and fame and power. Mankind, all of these things will fail. But we know that God is eternal and He will not fail us. He's faithful, dependable, and everlasting. But in order to receive this protection, to receive these things that I've talked about, you have to be in Him. A shelter doesn't do any good if you're not under it. And a fortress is no good if you're not in it. And a refuge provides no safety if you're outside of its borders. In Galatians 3:27, we see, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So in order to be in Him, to have these things that He provides, we must obey the gospel. So we must hear His word. We must believe in Christ. We must repent of our sin and confess Him before man and be baptized. And then we must stay faithful unto death. So if you wish to obey the gospel this morning, or have wandered away in any way, or in need of prayers, I invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.